Lord God, please let what I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen. Please be seated. You know, at the beginning of most TV series, there are a few moments when they review what happened the previous week so that the audience is up to speed and kind of ready for the current episode. So with that in mind, previously in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and they entered the synagogue and they taught. And this is when they encountered the man with the unclean spirit, a spirit that cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And then Jesus, of course, basically tells him to be quiet and to come out of the man, and it did. That had to be pretty amazing. You know, most of us have seen a horror flick or a Hollywood rendition of what people may have encountered that day. I've been like Hollywood after a blockbuster event. Jesus' fame spread, and Capernaum became home base for his mission in Galilee, a place that welcomed the teacher and the healer. But if I asked you, what was the first miracle that Jesus performed? Does everybody have that in their head, what we've been told over and over, what's the first miracle Jesus performed? It would have been changing water into wine at the wedding at Cana. And I agree that turning water into wine is a pretty amazing miracle. But if one of you, for example, were possessed, and Denise or I got out one of the old versions of the Book of Occasional Service and called the demon to come out of you, and then with convulsing and screaming and maybe even a big like funnel of smoke, we expelled it, I think that'd be a miracle. I also think we'd all need some therapy. Only in Mark, do we find Jesus confronting evil spirits as his initial public action. This action underpins the foundation of Jesus' authority, and that authority, it comes from God. I want you to think about authority for a minute. What does it mean to have authority? What does that really mean? So some examples, like if you're a king, then you have inherited your authority to rule. And if you're, say, the president of a corporation, well, then you've been delegated authority to make business decisions. A professor, for instance, has achieved authority through research and study. And if you're an attorney, a scribe in Jesus' day, one who interprets the law, then where's that source of authority come from? The scribes and attorneys don't find the law inside themselves as the source. Jesus was clearly very different, because when he taught in the synagogue, he referred to no source of authority other than himself. Jesus is the source, and without saying it, he actually laid claim to being the Christ, the Son of God. So here's the question. As Christians, what's the source of our authority? What are we called to do with that authority? I think these are pretty big questions for sure. God is the source of all authority, and all that I am, all that we are, comes from God. I think this is the foundation of our Christian faith. The Bible, of course, is then the source of authoritative instruction, the guide that kind of maps our journey with Christ. So with God as our source and the Bible as our map to guide us, Jesus calls us to courageously love one another, no exceptions, and to carry that message to everyone, especially those who are outside of our comfort zone. If you've never read the Gospel of Mark from beginning to end, just actually sat down and read it as if it was text that you were going to read or a book you were going to read, I strongly suggest that you try this. Maybe you can make it your Lenten discipline, just to start at the beginning and go all the way through the book. It's pretty short. One thing is that Mark has a mission to make it clear that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to bring reconciliation and healing to the world and to call disciples to go out and spread the good news to everyone. Today's gospel, I think, is really focused on two things: healing and acting as God's agents in the world. The day that Jesus and the disciples spent in Capernaum was busy. It was busy and it was exciting. There was a lot going on. It was a huge success for them. The world was hurting, and Jesus came to heal. You know, when things break in our houses, we immediately try to fix them or restore them, repair them, replace them. And when people break, then we immediately lift them up in prayer. We offer prayer to try and restore them, to make them whole again. Because illness and injury, there's nothing that interrupts our lives more than those two things. And all we want to do is be made whole so that we can keep moving forward, achieving our goals, making our lives happen. We want things just put back the way they were. Jesus is the source of that restoration. He's the answer. It took me a long time to understand that healing is not just about physical healing, because not all illness is curable. Not all people recover. We're human. We're subject to the laws of nature. But we can, however, make peace with our illnesses, and we can heal mentally and spiritually. So after Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, it was sundown, and all of a sudden, people began to gather outside the door. They were bringing the sick and the possessed to Jesus for healing. They were coming to him. The scripture says the whole town was gathered outside the door, everybody. This was a big win for Jesus. He was more popular in Capernaum that day than the Beatles. Capernaum rejoiced. It was a safe place for them. They were secure. Jesus and the disciples, the sick were being healed. They were being brought people. Healing was happening. It was fabulous. But then the next morning, when it was still dark, before sunrise, Jesus went off by himself to recharge and to pray. You know, still, it's kind of tempting to bask in fame, isn't it? When something great happens to us, we just want to stay in that one place. We want to stay there. We want to put down roots. That's our temptation. Where you found welcome, where you found success, that's where you want to be. For one brief moment, I bet you Jesus asked, you know, should I stay? They're bringing people to me, or should I go? But he knew that the purpose of his ministry was to bring good news and healing to the whole world. When the disciples finally find Jesus alone, they're riding high on the success of yesterday. This was their big Super Bowl win. Everyone's looking for you, they tell him. I imagine the disciples wanted to stay right there. They were thinking, oh, hey, we're going to have day two in Capernaum. This is going to be fabulous. You know, the people love them. This is great. We'll do another day here. They were in a zone. Jesus answers, let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For this is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus knew he had to go meet the people right where they were. Just as Jesus calls the disciples, he's called us to take up the work of proclaiming the good news and healing. There is a whole world out there waiting for us. As individuals, they're waiting for us. As a community, as this Church of the Holy Cross, they're waiting for us to share God's love and healing with this hurting world. So don't get comfortable with where you are and what you do. Go spread the gospel. All of you, each of you, go spread the gospel. How? Are you wondering how? Pay attention to opportunities to serve. Give your time and talent and treasure to heal a hurting world. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give shelter to the homeless. Give good counsel to those who are hurting and who need help. Give to the poor and be good stewards of all of God's creation. For more ideas, see the announcements in your bulletin. All of us are called to ministry, and ministry is full of possibilities. So be of good courage and reach out for something beyond yourself. Challenge yourself. Live into the wonder of God's creation and engage in new and creative ways to spread the gospel. It's easier to stay in a safe place and do the same things you've always been doing, but like the gospel, Jesus bids us to move forward. So if you took anything from the scriptures from the last 2 weeks, I want you to understand that there are evil and demons in the world just as sure as there are angels and good in the world. Be the good. Do good. Take a chance on Jesus. Following him is not going to be easy, but it will be worth it. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? These words from Isaiah tell us that Jesus is Lord. Follow him. And in this world, be the good. Do good. Be-do-be-do-be-do. Amen.